ready for the Word tonight? Yeah. Let's get into it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Right? Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Have you obtained any faith since you've come to know Jesus Christ? Well, here it says it's precious. Your faith is precious. Why is it precious? Because it's by faith you access the promises of God. By faith it's that you lay hold of eternal life and into every blessing God has. Last week we started talking about steps to using our faith. And we started talking about that God has every blessing you'll ever need up in heaven. Amen? And he says, I've given it freely to you as a joint heir of Christ. And if you will utilize your faith as the grabber tool. Remember the grabber tool? Or the parrot restraining device? Me and the parrot had a time this week. Don't get me started there. If you use the grabber tool to target and grab a hold of what God said is yours, through faith you can bring it from the third heaven realm, the realm of the kingdom of God, into this first heaven realm, into your life, and see supernatural blessing manifested. Amen? So it is precious faith. Again, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not occasionally go to church. Amen. Diligently seek God. And as he's a rewarder of those, and without faith you can't please him. Now understand, faith alone is not what pleases God. Oh, I see you have great faith. Yeah, but he's not doing anything with it to please you. It doesn't say faith pleases God. It says you can't please God without it. You can even use your faith for the wrong things. Amen? You can attempt, the Bible talks about attempting to use your faith for things that fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? So you can use your faith to target things inappropriately. But if you use your faith properly, with the right motivation, after the right targets, you can access the very blessings of the kingdom of God. And that's what pleases God. You can't even walk in the love of God without faith. Amen. Because it says you're rooted and grounded in love by faith. So faith lets you access a supernatural force called the love of God. Love is not just, we confuse compassion and love. Compassion is a heart of concern or care for other people. Amen. The love of God is a force that attracts you even to people you don't like. The love of God is a force that changes the atmosphere that people that don't like you all of a sudden will love you. And the love of God is an anointing. It's a nature, amen, and an anointing. An anointing, when it manifests, destroys strife and eradicates offense. Amen. Compassion does not have that power to do any of those. Amen. Compassion is a natural emotional reaction, or triggers emotional reaction of concern for other people. Love will manifest as an anointing that will change the atmosphere and cause people's hearts to change towards you and to change towards God. Amen. And you can't access that supernatural love without faith. And understand, love fulfills all the commandments. The highest calling we have in life is to walk in the love of God. Amen. It says it fulfills all the intentions of the Word of God. Love fulfills God's laws and standards. Amen. So faith is God's provision given to us to reach into heaven and extract out of heaven what we need to overcome and be empowered in life to fulfill God's calling. Amen. And we also found it, we've heard in the past, that when you get born again, you have a seed of faith given to you. Mustard seed faith, the Word of God calls it. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can command the mountain to be removed, right? And, we have a lot of people walking around saying, well, yes, I just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, but I can do all these great things through mustard seed faith. No, we didn't say mustard seed faith moves the mountains. It says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can do it. But you're going to have to grow that seed. You follow me? When you get saved, you get a seed of faith imparted, a mustard seed faith imparted to you. The measure of faith, the Word calls it, that you then have the responsibility to develop, to get in the Word and grow your faith. So that you go from, you know, teaspoon measure faith to, you know, to steam shovel measure faith. That you go to the faith where, you know, when I first got saved, I barely had enough faith to say saved. I mean, my faith was just enough when I got saved just to get to church. I had to develop my faith to be able to see supernatural events take place. To see people healed when you pray for them. Amen. To see the supernatural anointings of God manifest. You start with mustard seed faith, but you develop it. How? By time and the Word. But understand, faith is precious and allows us to access what God has made available. We have a problem in the kingdom of God. We have people think all you do is get saved and go to church. And don't realize the whole purpose of going to church is to learn how to use your faith. Amen. How to fulfill God's high calling, which you can't do without faith. Everything God ever calls someone to do, and I believe every person that has ever been born again has a call on their life. We're all called to something. Maybe not full-time ministry, but we're called. And whatever you're called to, it's going to require you to access more power and provision than you have of yourself. You're going to need more money, more wisdom, and more strength and emotional stability than you possess on your own. Because the enemy is going to attack you in a fashion that's going to stretch you beyond yourself. Amen. But God said, I've given you provision that if you'll access it by grace, you can overcome every attack of darkness. And you can fulfill a high calling above your own ability. You can fulfill something way above you by accessing what I've made available by faith. Amen. And so our job as Christians, once we're saved, is to find out, first, we overcome sin, right? Laying aside the sin and the weight that easily overtake us. And find out, what has God called me to do? Who has He called me to become? Because the number one work God wants to do in your life is to change you. We got too many people focused on what God wants them to do and not enough focus on what or who God wants you to become. Amen. Before you're going to change the world, you got to let God change you. Amen. And so we find out, we seek God. What do? Who do we become? And that's our assignment. And then as He reveals to us, we lay hold of it by faith and see change take place. And believe me, you really get in the flow of what God's doing, it's going to stretch you many times to what you think is your breaking point. That's when you just call on God and say, God, I need help right now. Amen. And you speak the Word and you watch God come through on your behalf. If you've never seen God come through in the supernatural for your life, you've never stretched into the full calling of God. Amen. But you stretch into it, you will watch the supernatural manifest. So it says He's given us precious faith. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. We're to develop in our knowledge of God. We come to church to find out who God is, what He's given us, and how do we become who He's called us to be. He says, according as His divine power, supernatural kingdom power, divine power, dunamis power from the throne of God, has given unto us all things that pertain to sozo life and godliness. That word life there is more than just having, you know, food to eat, clothes to put on, and water to drink. That word sozo there means you have nothing missing or broken in your life, that you have every blessing of the kingdom of God in full manifestation. Amen. Sozo means you're healed. It means you're prosperous. It means you're walking in the peace and the joy of the Lord. Your children are serving God. You're walking in victory in every area. Amen. Sozo. He's given you everything you need to walk in the fullness of blessing. Amen. And godliness. not just to have what he says you can have, but to walk in a godly fashion. To walk in fullness of relationship with him. We found out that word godliness means to worship. Amen? So you're walking in a relationship, a worship-filled relationship with God with full reverence for him. And God's given us everything we need to access it. By faith. The point I'm trying to make is we're called to more than just survival Christianity. We're not just supposed to be holding on to the last knot of the frayed rope till Jesus comes again. We're supposed to be overcoming by faith. And he says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. There's the knowledge again. We're to increase our knowledge of God. But how many know this word is God in print form? This book is the very DNA code of Jesus. And we increase in knowledge of God by increasing in knowledge of the Word. Amen. That has called us to glory and virtue. Now see right there, here we go. We're called to glory. Oh yes, someday when we die, we're called to glory. Can't wait to get to glory. No, the glory is to be now. Amen. We're supposed to be accessing the glory of God now, walking in the power of God now. That water tower that God showed me years ago opened up, and he showed me a city of glory, and it wasn't for someday in the ever after, it was for now. We're called to glory. But understand, you can't get there without precious faith. And you can't get to the precious faith without a relationship with God and developing in the knowledge of God. Called us to glory and called us to virtue. Amen. Moral excellence. You're not just called to go up there. You're called to be like him. You're called to let God change you on the inside. We brought this out Thursday night, and I feel it necessary to bring it out here tonight as well. Is that we have people as well today confuse soulish sensitivity with spiritual sensitivity. How many of us are supposed to be sensitive in the Spirit? We're supposed to know the voice of God, the leading of the Spirit. Amen. I mean, I believe God wants to take us where we're like a horse that's been trained to neck rein. Whichever way, you know, God just kind of leaning us towards, we go that direction. We're instant to obey God, right? But we have a lot of people but understand to get there requires spiritual development. You're not born again instantly spiritually sensitive. You have to learn it. You have to practice it. I still, every day, practice hearing God. God, was that you? Amen. Show me if that's you or not. Confirm it. When I'm praying and I'm trying to pick up the anointing, say, God, now what would you have me do now? Every time I close the service, what do you want me to do now, Lord? To practice hearing God and implementing what he says to do. But it takes spiritual exercise. Time of the Word. Time seeking God. Amen. Time learning the ways of God. But there's a lot of people that don't want to get involved in spiritual exercise. Well, I just believe all that prayer and praying in tongues and getting the Word, that's just legalism. Well, then you'll never develop yourself. You know, we had Pastor Chad in here a few weeks ago talking to him about his exercise regimen. You know, he's developing himself in the area of physical fitness, bench pressing all this weight, you know, and eating the protein shakes and, you know, and working out. I think he said 5 times a week he's working out. 5 times a week working out. And he understands without proper workout, he'll never develop into what he wants to be. But without spiritual exercise. Spiritual development, you'll never become what you want to be spiritually. And people say, well, that's just legalism. Well, then you're going to stay weak in your spiritual sensitivity. And what they do is instead they confuse soulish sensitivity with spiritual sensitivity. And instead of being led by the voice of God down here, or the peace and leading of God that is supposed to lead us, they're led by how they feel up here. And your emotions, the enemy, the devil, has no access to your spirit. He cannot tamper with the voice of God down here. Jesus, through His own blood, cleansed the heavenlies. And the devil has no access to your spirit, man. It is a pure communication you have between you and the Spirit of God inside. That's why you can be led assuredly by the peace of God. Not the peace up here, the peace down here. But Satan, when he was cast down to earth, took up residence in the second heaven, the realm of the soul. And he became the master of thought and emotional manipulation. Satan's number one tool is to bring Christians into captivity is through thought and emotional bombardment. Well, they don't like you at that church. Don't you feel sad? What happens? Oh, I'm just picking up. They don't like me. I got to go. We love you. Amen. But the devil lies. And his ability to tamper with your thoughts and emotions to make you believe the lies. Unless down here you've learned to know the voice of God that's saying, don't move. It's an attack. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to know the voice of God that says where you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to stand. So the enemy is the master of that area of attacking us in the soul. But yet you got Christians that think that's how we're led. I just feel. If you put the word feel in what you're about to do, you've probably already missed God. You're not led by feelings. You're led by the Word and by the peace of God. Amen. And even the voice of God. But Satan can counterfeit the voice of God. That's why you better know the peace down here. What you hear up here better match what you feel down here. Let me not feel. What you discern down here. Feelings are the emotional realm. Amen. We're never to be led of feelings. We have a whole group of people that are led by emotional reaction. I just feel like I need to go over here today. So they float over here. I need to go over here today. Float over here. Well, listen, God can lead you through your day. But not from how you feel. It's by what He's leading you into spiritually. Is anybody hearing me? Now, here's the point I want to get to. Pastor Philip Derber brought this out at our minister's meeting this week. And I thought it was worthy of repeating. Relaying here is if you ever start to press in spiritually, you ever decide to fast, amen, you decide you're going to seek God, you're going to pray all night, whatever it might be, it will cause dross or soulish reactions, even demonic habitations to rise at the top in your life. You start seeking God, stuff's going to come to the surface. Because you're creating an anointing fire down here that's going to drive the demonic up to here. If I can put it in that fashion. And all of a sudden, you know, you're doing good and all of a sudden you have a flesh out. I just can't. You know, we used to have that happen. We'd get so condemned. Oh, I just thought I was saved. I'm not even saved. Did you hear what came out of my mouth? Oh, God, please forgive me. And I understand you might have to repent from some things. But don't beat yourself up. What's going on is you were pressing into God and you were saying, God, change me. So there's certain stuff inside of you that's got to come out and come up to deal with. So when it rises to the top, don't condemn yourself. Say, okay, Father, I see that. I command that to leave my life now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I repent from it. I resist the devil. Now you get behind me, Satan. And you go on your way without it from then on. And if it happens to manifest again, just say, hey, you're his brother, you come out too. And if a whore herd starts coming forth, command them all to leave. You're in the middle of your flesh out, and you got a beer over here and a donut over here, and you know, you're shopping everything you got over here and cussing over here. Just tell them all to get out. This is not their house. We call them landmines of the soul. Yes. Satan has worked all of your life to implant within you certain mindsets that produce specific reactions. Amen. Some people, you know, they get under pressure, they'll explode in one fashion. You know, you try to correct somebody and they've already been programmed. Nobody can tell me what to do. So they go off, explode all over you. Who do you think you are? What happened? You touched a landmine in their soul. And as you start pressing into God, landmines are going to rise up. Amen? Just recognize it as dross, the impurities within you that are coming up so you can identify them and eliminate them. If you try to ignore them, or you don't deal with them by faith, you don't take the Word of God against them, what happens as you start to cool down, you know, you count it to 10, and you count it to 100, and about 3,000, and you start to cool down, those impurities, if not dealt with through repentance and confession, start to settle back down within you. And the first time pressure comes on your life again, or, you know, things heat up, here they'll rise up again. We have to eliminate them. Use the sword of the Spirit to cut them out of your life. Now here's the point. Another point. Is if you, in your seeking God, that draw starts to rise up, those landmines start to be triggered, and you never deal with them, you try to ignore them, or bury them, or hide them, you will never go spiritually beyond that point. Those become your stopping point, because that's for you to stop, all the devil has to do is touch that trigger, and you'll go off and stop, you know, you're pressing into God. And especially when he hits the trigger and you start cursing your faith. Well, I thought I was blessed. You know, you're believing God for money. How many know we need money? Father, I believe I receive 100-fold on my seed I've sown in Jesus' name. And here comes the bills and the red slips and people calling you and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you've taken all you can stand. You can't stand no more. And here comes the meltdown. Dross rising up. Well, blankety blank, I blankety blank thought God was on my side, and blankety blank, these bills are overtaken, and you just cursed your seed all the way through. Amen. Your faith was just neutralized at that point. So what do you do? You gotta deal with that area of the soul, that area of sensitivity that's holding you back. Because you'll never go beyond the triggers that have been implanted within you. You got to uproot the landmines. Amen. But here's the thing not to do. Well, every time I press into God, I go off. I have all these meltdowns. So I'm not pressing into God anymore. Well, you just gave up the whole battle. I mean, you gave up the war. Keep pressing in. How do we get over here? Amen. You don't give way to these flesh, you know, reactions. And those that want to operate, that will not press in spiritually, may look peaceable on the outside, but there's chaos on the inside. Because only by spiritual development do you overcome the things that hold you in captivity. Amen. And we are to press in spiritually. In fact, this whole passage is about that. He says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us. Everybody say me. Everybody say me.
Me.
Oh, that was better. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It says we've been given exceeding great and precious promises. What are these? They're the entire inheritance package of the Word of God. That Bible you have is full of promises. I've heard counts of how many promises are in the Bible. I don't remember how many there are, but there's thousands of promises in the Bible. There's not a single area or attack or situation in your life that the answer is not already in that book in the form of a promise, in the form of a seed, right? And we've been given promises that through those promises, we can be partakers of God's divine nature and partakers of all the blessings connected to us having His divine nature. We have been made a joint heir with Christ. Joint heir of what? The promises. Do you know when Jesus came to earth, everything He accessed, everything He did was through the promises of God? He kept saying, it is written. It is written, right? What was he doing? Repeating a promise. Repeating a declaration of the Father. And so he was using his faith to unwrap the promises of God. Amen. And so we've been given not just promises, but exceeding great and precious promises that through precious faith you can unwrap. Now, we've spent much time here in the past as well talking about seed. And seed is a pre-programmed package of potential power, right? I mean, the Word of God, it says there's power in the Word. Well, the Bible sitting on your coffee table or in your trunk or whatever is not going to release any power. It's in seed form. The power of the seed is only released when it's planted in the proper conditions. Amen. Primarily in the soil of man's heart. But the way we plant a seed is by speaking it. We've been given authority to speak the Word of God. And to speak the Word is to sow the Word of God as a seed that our faith then germinates and cause growth to come to pass. Did you follow me? We speak the Word to sow it, and our faith causes the life in that seed to come forth. Because, see, you can speak the Word without faith, it's not going to germinate. You can speak the Word into your own heart or somebody else's heart, but faith, it will not produce anything until it comes in connection with faith and the watering of the Word, right? So, we're assigned to be partakers of the promises of God, but faith causes that promise to manifest in your life. Praise God. And so, without faith, we can't unpackage them. Now, I want to read on just a few verses because it goes in line with what we were talking about a while ago. It's really about spiritual development. Verse 5 says, and besides this, besides what? Besides, you know, accessing the promises. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, understand knowledge, talking about knowledge of God. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance would be self-control. Amen. I want you to see all these things in this list. I call it the stairway of agape. All these things deal with personal change inside of you. Or something released inside of you. He says, not only are you called to access promises, you're called to be changed. The same word you want God to bring you something out of is the same word that's supposed to change you. And we got too many people holding their spiritual hand out and not enough people saying, okay, God, change me. And then we got a whole group saying, God, change me, but they don't know how to use their faith to access the promises. God says, you need them both. Adding to your self-control, patience. And to patience, godliness or godlikeness or a life of worship and reverence. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or agape love. Here we see a cycle God says you are supposed to be in to develop yourself. Amen. And it says it starts with faith. You do all this by faith. I'm all the time, I'm sure you are as well, saying, God, change me. Just change me. I see stuff in me I still don't like. I want it eliminated. I speak the Word into that place. Now, God, by your supernatural power, change me. I connect my faith to it. I connect my faith to to access patience, to access self-control, to walk in love. I confess every day Christ dwells in my heart by faith, and I'm rooted and grounded in love. Able to comprehend with all saints what's the width, breadth, depth, and height, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, in whom is able to exceeding abundantly above all we ask or pray. Hallelujah. Ask or think. Unto be glory in the church forever. Confessing the love of God. Use your faith to change you. Be willing to look at yourself and say, God, bring change. Because he says, this is what really gets my attention. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They make you. That you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what comes out of that knowledge? Accessing all the promises of God. All the blessings of the kingdom. But he that lacketh these things is blind. And cannot see afar off. Lacks what? Faith to bring change to his life. Faith to access the promises of God. He just goes to church and tries to hold on to his salvation. He's not learning how to walk in faith and develop his faith. Not learning how to use his faith to step into the love of God. It says he's blind and he can't see beyond tomorrow. Can't see beyond himself being where he is today. You know, Joe Namath wrote the book back in the 60s. Where he said, I can't wait till tomorrow because I get better looking every day. I've seen him lately. He did reach a peak. But we started saying years ago, we can't wait till tomorrow because we look much better than we look right now, right? Spiritually. We believe tomorrow will be more spiritual, more anointed, more empowered than we are today. And then we press toward the mark to see that come to pass. If you can't see afar off, you can never see yourself being anointed. Back in the 80s, back in the late 80s, really when Grace Ministries, we came together. We hadn't formed the ministry yet, but we came together. And Pastor Callan was teaching us about, you know, the promises of God and the power of God and how to operate in faith. And we started talking about someday. I mean, we'd go to church, we'd have prayer lines, there'd be 100 people in a prayer line. And every once in a while, somebody would get healed. And we would prophesy, someday everybody's going to get healed. It was like a fantasy, like a pipe dream. Someday they'll all get healed. Someday we're going to go clean out hospitals. Someday we're going to see, you know, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, you know, diabetes and cancers leave people's life, the dead raised. We just said all, prophesied all these things. Someday we'll be going to the nations and we'll see major change, you know, and all. And it sounded like fantasy. It sounded like fantasy to everybody around us, even to us to some level. But the Word said we'd do greater works. So we said we're going to speak the Word, believe the Word, and we started seeking to press into God to change. And we have now exceeded in anointing what I even thought we'd attained back then. I'm raising dead people yet, but it's going to happen. We've seen every miracle take place. We've seen here miracle after miracle take place. Amen. Pastor Callahan is going back to Peru in October. He's got that nation at his hand. They're putting him on television and radio, and people are coming from drives 24 hours away and beyond to get to the meetings to get healed. Some are just getting healed over the TV program. I'm talking about blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, people come out of wheelchairs. We're seeing miracles everywhere we go. And we dreamed about this 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Dreamed of this. It was crazy to us. But you know what? We saw beyond the next day. We were seeing afar off. God, through His Word, had implanted something within us to see beyond one day change. Yes. So we started developing ourselves and letting God change us and say, God, whatever you got to do in my life, alter it. Deliver me. Fix me. To get me where I need to be to do what you call me to do. And now all those, every one of us who have stayed the course, are walking in miracle power. 20, 25 years later, what we dreamed about. 25 years ago, I couldn't dream me being a pastor. My wife especially couldn't. But here we are. Amen. The point being is, he that can't see afar off will never get to his destiny. And will not make the changes necessary for God to alter who he is. And he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now here's the verse. Here's the verse that got me. This is the verse that convinced me I need to let God change me. It says, "Whether the rather, brethren," don't you love the King James? "Wherefore the rather, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Hey, when I first got saved, I felt threatened by the potential of falling all the time. I was at the altar every other week. "Oh God, please don't kick me out of heaven. I said another bad word. Please, please let me stay saved," you know. And then I had everybody I worked with that knew my past. I said, "You'll never make it. I just got married. I had people come to me that I've known for years say, 'You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Your marriage ain't going to make it.'" They knew my past. I didn't realize God could change me and deliver me from my past to take me into His future. So you let God alter who you are. You connect your faith to it. Now, if you ever want to start accessing the promises of God, using your faith to receive what God has, the number one thing you have to do is learn to identify a need that you can use your faith with regard to. You have to become a person that recognizes if there's anything in my life I am not satisfied with, or that God is not satisfied with, it can be changed. If I was to ask you right now to make a list of stuff in your life you're not pleased with, I'm sure everybody here could have at least one or two items on the list. I was about to say the women's list would be a lot bigger than the men's. Men just say, you know, "Give me a fishing pole and a hunting rifle, I'm good. You know, a dog and a wife that doesn't nag, I'm great." Women got a whole list. Books. Amen. Have y'all seen that Facebook picture lately of the huge book? It's like this thick. It's a big book, but it's like this thick. And it's everything you need to know about women. Amen. And everything you need to know about men fits on a note card, right? We could come up with several things that we felt we wanted changed in our life that we were not pleased with, not satisfied with. I'd have a list of things I want changed. Amen. One would be a church overflowing with people, multiple services, which we're moving into in Jesus' name. It'd be bank accounts overflowing where, you know, I don't have to turn any more wrenches. Praise God. I keep having to buy junk vehicles and fixing them up. I'm ready for that to end. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. I'd have a whole list of stuff that I wanted changed outside of me and I wanted changed inside of me. I want more anointing. And if we were to make our list, we could then go into the scriptures and line up promises that tell us we can have that. Because there's not a thing you can put on your list that would be in the will of God. Amen. Understand, 47 wives can't be on your list. And why you'd want it, I don't know. Amen. Everything you'd put on your list, there's a promise that deals with it in the Word. And you have a right to go home and make the list. I highly recommend it. Make your list. Because you will never use your faith beyond the level you identify needs to apply it to. Faith is not accidental. The guys had their camp out this weekend. They said they had a good time. Amen. And we were out there fishing and shooting and everything else. And Aaron told me you guys set up the .22 with a scope and were shooting dimes. They were setting up coins and targeting them with this rifle with the scope and blowing holes through the coins for souvenirs. Amen. See, guys get to do cool stuff. So what was happening is they would put the crosshairs on the coin they wanted to shoot, and when they targeted that coin and pulled the trigger, a bullet was fired that did what they wanted it to do. So hitting the dime was not accidental, or the quarter. Blowing the hole in the coin, which I'm sure they found it fun. You can tell guys. We're at the campground 5 minutes. They're coming to say, can we shoot the animals around here too? Can we shoot the squirrels? I said, no. For one, I don't have permission to shoot the squirrels. Two, they're not even in season. Give a guy a gun, something's in trouble. They were following good safety precautions when I was there. After I left, I don't know what happened. Pow, 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 pow. I'm telling you. The thing is, they targeted what they wanted to hit. Amen. With a rifle that was sighted in, and they hit their target. But people think faith is accidental. The first thing you must do if you're going to learn to use faith is use it at a specific target. God's ways, you know, people have this flaky mindset of God, that God is, that he's, you know, up in heaven, and he's just kind of like a wisp of the wind. He's just kind of cloudy and, you know, flaky and fuzzy, and, you know, you just never can put your hand on God. God's extremely predictable. Amen? Because he told us in the Word what he would do. And he can't lie. And he put together a very predictable system. How many know this kingdom, this universe we live in, this world, was created out of the kingdom of God? And this world is highly predictable. Amen. I am an engineer. Amen. And if you jump off this building, I can tell you how long it will take you to hit the ground in just a few minutes, and how fast you'll be going when you hit. Neglecting, of course, air resistance, which we may throw in, you know, a fraction for, and other limiting factors. But I know the laws of gravity. I can write the formula for gravity. Amen. I'm sure you all can as well. And, amen. It's all predictable. We can send a man to the moon and bring him back safely because we have learned the laws of physics, the laws of this world, and can apply them. And this world was created out of the other kingdom realm. Somehow it's unpredictable. You cannot predict predictability out of chaos. Amen. You can only create order and predictability out of another ordered kingdom. So God, if he created this realm where we use scopes to hit targets, he must be a God that says, if you want to hit my target, you're going to aim at it as well. You don't hit the targets of God by mistake. You know, you're just kind of floating through the neighborhood. And I think, you know, I think I'll just get saved today. And you just come up the only way of getting saved. I just feel like if I jump over this sidewalk 3 times and stand on my head, I'll be saved. He's got an ordered way to be saved. He's got an ordered fashion to receive the promises of God. And the number one thing you do with the promises of God is you target the Word of God towards what you need. Now, you don't have to have a list written down. You can have a list in your head. But faith is intentional. Jesus, we went to this verse last week. You know, Mark chapter 11, he says, if you command the mountain to be thrown in the sea, it must obey you if you don't doubt in your heart. What did he do? He targeted his faith. I command the mountain to be thrown in the sea. And a need is identified. Faith is developed. And then words of faith are released to see what you need come to pass. So the number one thing to use the promises of God to live by faith is identification. What are the areas you have needs in? I got to watch how I say this. You, if you learn to walk in faith, can identify other people's faith levels. You can identify where the people are in faith. Now, don't feel threatened. I better not talk to Pastor Jack. You can tell it through their conversations. by how they speak and how they confess certain things, how they state certain things. Are they in faith for changing that? Or are they just hoping and praying? You'll talk to people and say, well, I just really want God to do this in my life. And you say, well, what verse are you standing on? I'm standing on the whole Bible. You're not in faith. Do you follow me? Faith is specific. Faith targets. Faith grabs a specific seed to produce a declared result. So if you want to become a person that's going into the glory, and it says those going into the glory are the just that live by faith, you must have become a person that learns to use faith as a tool to extract as a grabber what you need out of the kingdom of heaven to meet the needs in your life. So the first thing to do is identify the needs you have. The second thing to do is find the promises that align with that need. You know, a specific promise that I speak to a lot of people a lot of times. They come and say, Pastor Jack, I just can't sleep. I'm not getting any sleep. I just can't seem to get any rest. I'll say, well, what are you doing to turn that around? How are you using your faith? Well, I'm going to bed an hour earlier. Well, that may be a natural effort to get more sleep, but that's not activating faith. The Bible says, Psalm chapter 2, He gives His beloved sweet sleep. Amen. That's a promise. Are you His beloved? Yes. He says He gives you sweet sleep. Now, before you go to bed, confess over your life, God gives me sweet sleep according to the Word of God. I sow that seed right now. I connect my faith to it. And I'm going to lay down here. I'm going to go to sleep quickly. And I'm going to sleep till it's time to get up. And when I get up, I'll be fully refreshed. Do you follow me? Well, I tried that one night. It didn't work. Faith is not a microwave process. Faith is a seed that must be nurtured and developed. It could be the first time you speak it, you had the worst night's sleep you ever had. And I'm not prophesying that, but it could be. What do? You speak it again the next day. Speak it through your day. We put over here on the counter confession cards, bookmarks. They're actually confession cards. We made it specifically for specific promises of God, dealing with healing and righteousness and all these areas of your life that you know you need a seed for, and with the other seed packets. Amen. There's seed packets with specific seed inside that you can tear open and know there's a seed in that packet that will produce what I need. So you take your seed packet out, and I tell people, if you have a need, if it's on the card, take the card and read it all through your day. Read it 6 times a day. Meditate it. Speak it over your life. If it's not on one of our cards, go make your own card. Take you 3 or 4 verses, you write them down, and through your day start speaking them into your life. What are you doing? You're watering the seed. You're causing your faith to grow with regard to that promise. And as you develop your faith in it, as you confess it forth, it will bring the results the Word of God declares. Because the power's in the Word, amen, the Word is a promise, and if you use your faith to unveil the promise, unwrap the promise, the results of the promise will take place in your life. And it may be that you, for a month you speak that word. But all of a sudden, one night you speak the word, you lay down, and you are out, and you don't wake up, you know, 2 hours later, and you wake up with the best night's sleep you've ever had. And you never had the problem again. Why? You fought through that battle with the Word of God, and now you have permanent change in your life. You know, you guys have heard my testimonies of stuff in the past, but that time that I just quit my job, I'd given up my benefits, I went to the dentist, and he's checking my, you know, my gums and everything. He says, you have some bone damage, you know, in your jaw, up in the front. He says, you need to see a periodontist right away to save that tooth. And he said it'll be about $700 or $800. I just quit my job. I don't have a job. I'm living by faith. Amen. I said, I'm going to live by faith. God had told me to quit. Don't quit unless God tells you. He told me to quit. And to prepare for ministry. And I had no salary. I had no income. Amen. Other than, you know, what we had saved, some of what we saved up. and that $700 was going to be a hit. So I said, now this is back in 1993. I said, God, you're my healer. I knew it was an attack of the enemy trying to, you know, drain me. I trust you to heal this tooth. And I said, in Jesus' name, the bone is restored in my mouth. My teeth are in proper position. All the gums are restored. Amen. You know what happened the next day I got up? There's no change. In fact, for a year, there was no change. In fact, for the next year, my tooth started getting loose. I mean, real, you could flip them with your fingers, moving out of position. To make a long story short, I spoke the word of God for a year and a half over those teeth. Went to bed one night, and you could literally play the piano on my front teeth. A whole side of them, and they're just loose, moved out. And I got the next morning, all my teeth back in position, all the bone restored. Everything solid. Went back to the dentist and had him check. He says, there is no damage in here whatsoever. What an overnight supernatural manifestation. But what happened? I spoke the word for a year and a half over those teeth. Now, is it going to take you a year and a half? Hope not. Amen. Kenneth Hagin said this. He says, if you're willing to stand forever, it won't take long. Time my back blew out, and I spoke the word over my back for 3 days. Jumped up and stomped around. After 3 days, I jumped up and stomped, and I had a brand new back. I can lift anything now. Isn't that right, Robert? Picked up the refrigerator the other day, right? Full of drinks. Glory to God. No back problems at all. Brand new back. Over 5 years ago. Why? Speaking the word of God. Through faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. So what do? You target the need, you find the promise of the scripture that deals with that need, and you start confessing it into your life. You start connecting your faith to what God has said and expect supernatural manifestation of the results of the Word of God. Because you're actually speaking forth a power source out of a different dimension, out of a different kingdom that has authority and power over this kingdom. When you speak the Word of God in faith, it becomes energized, and this natural realm has to line up with it. How do you think Jesus could walk on water? Amen? How do you think we could see the miracles of God take place? Iron swim. Because there is a power source above this realm that faith has access to. Oh, praise God. And your words, when energized by faith, have the authority to cause this realm to shift. Now, that sounds flaky. That sounds crazy to the average Christian. That sounds ludicrous to the natural mind. You know, I tell people, it says don't cast your pearls before swine. I do it all the time anyway. I don't know what. Problem is, I never know a pig until they spit on you, you know, until they laugh at you. I just walk in such naivety regarding the love of God. I just trust everybody that I'm going to tell you this precious truth, and I hope you'll receive it and, you know, be changed by it. And they go, that's crazy. Oink. I'm sorry. And I'll tell people, the Word of God says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Amen. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's authority in your words. Speak the word. Things will change. And the natural mind cannot grasp that, just like some of you right now may be struggling with that statement. What do you mean words change things? It's what the Bible said. Jesus said, if you believe and you speak, the natural realm will shift to line up with what you say. It doesn't sound natural. That's why I opened up today saying that God says we're to know His ways, but the natural mind can't grasp God's ways. The only way you can get a hold of the ways of God is by spiritual development. By getting in the Word, implementing what God says, experiencing His faithfulness to the Word, and you come to the point as you spiritually develop, you realize this Word really is true. and you stretch your faith, your belief further into what God has declared. I'll tell you, when I first got saved and I got into faith, and they were talking about, you know, controlling your tongue and speaking, you know, the right confession. My mind's going, that ain't right. That's nonsense. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How ludicrous can you get? And I had literally had to get into the book and study the subject in depth to come to the point I realized it was in the book. Then I had to practice it for a long time and experience that it really worked, to really believed that it worked to a higher level. The natural man cannot grasp the ways of God without the Word of God changing the mindset of the natural man. You become spiritually minded. Amen. You let the Word of God transform your thinking, that you think in alignment with spiritual truths. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, I've been 2 weeks on this subject. We're still in the introduction. That's all right. Hebrews chapter 4. Have you got it? It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. It says here, to fear, not claiming his promises. What is it talking about? Remember, we already discussed that God's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Through those we can experience God's divine life. Amen. Sozo life. Well, any area you don't access the promises of God in is an area you don't have a guaranteed right to sozo blessing in your life. Did you follow me? And the enemy is an expert at attacking you where there's no shield. It says we're to take upon us the whole shield of faith, right? Take unto you the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I did a sermon one time years ago. I should have kept the shield. I made a shield, this foam board stuff, and a shield of faith. But I had holes cut out in it with plugs you could put in for the different promises of God. So there was a hole of salvation right over your heart. Amen? If you've not learned God's promise of salvation, the devil's going to take you out in your heart. There was a promise of healing, another hole cut out there. If you develop your faith in healing, the devil cannot attack you there. In financial blessing, if you believe in salvation and you believe in healing, but you don't believe in financial blessing, he'll attack you financially. He attacks any area that you have not learned the promises of God. If you've learned healing and you've learned financial blessing and you've learned salvation, but you haven't learned precious sleep, he'll attack you in your rest. When it says fear, not accessing the promises, and not because God's upset because you didn't receive everything he had, it's because if you don't receive everything he has, the enemy will attack you in that area. There's a hole in your shield. So fear, not fearing God, fearing the enemy being able to get to you where there's not a promise manifested. See, I don't know how you do, but when I read the word, I recognize the promises. I mean, I'm programmed to recognize the promises. I recognize the directives of God, and I recognize His promises that He connects to following the directives of God. Did you follow me? If He says, I can have this because I'm of His children, I'm of His kingdom, I want to make sure, do I have that? Any collectors in here? Anybody be a collector? Zane, one hand barely went up. Betty went up a little bit. Amen. Connie, collectors. I used to collect comic books back when I was a nerdy kid. Now I'm a cool adult. I collected comic books. If you've ever seen Big Bang, I'd have fit right in. Amen. Except I had a Harley. I collected comic books, and it would bug you not to have a certain comic. If there's an issue you missed, it bugged you. You had to get that comic to fill the hole. If you collect anything else, you know, there's that one thing you don't have. I got to have that thing. It fills me. It's like it completes me. I'm not teaching on collecting tonight, so I'm going to stay off this vein. But you got to have that one. I want to be a collector of the promises of God. Because when I read the promises, I recognize if there's one there that I don't have operating to the highest level I want operating. And so I'll stop and say, God, I confess it into my life. Amen. Whether it's, I mean, see the ones regarding salvation, you've got that down. You've been taught salvation all your life. You don't feel threatened in that area probably. But healing, finances, sleep, your marriage and kids, you have to develop your faith in those things. But even beyond, as I read the promises, I look and say, oh, now, do I have that operating at a high level or not? Father, I claim that now in its fullness in Jesus' name. I speak that into my life, and I'll stop and speak it. Love, I speak love. I want to speak love all the time. My marriage blessed. What? Speaking the promise of God that you don't leave a single promise unclaimed. Now, this can sound overwhelming because there's so many of them, but start now. Don't get overwhelmed and not do it. Start now claiming what you can to activate that in your life so tomorrow there's not as much to claim. And then once you get the promises activated, see that to enact a promise takes work. When I first heard about divine healing, I wrote down every scripture in the Bible about healing. Health, healing, healed. I wrote down every one by hand before there was computers to do it. At least before I had one. Wrote it in, you know, in the notebook. Still got the notebook somewhere. And I read each verse time and time again. I meditated until I believed in divine healing and faith was being connected. Done the same thing with righteousness, with salvation, with marriage. I find the scriptures, I print them out now, and I meditate them until my faith connects with it. It takes work. Amen. It's like planting a garden takes work. You got to go out there and till stuff up, get the stones out, I mean, break all the clods, get everything ready. It takes work to do that. But once you get the garden properly prepared, sown, and hopefully mulched or whatever, it'll take nearly as much to maintain it. Unless you're just really poor about weeding. Amen. Once you get it planted, you got it, especially once it's growing, go out there and just pick. The same thing with the promises of God. Once you've got them activated and working, it doesn't take a whole lot to maintain them. Just read the Word and keep speaking them into your life. You can actually say, hey, God, in the next 12 months, I want 12 promises activated and focus on 12 promises, one a month for a year. You'd be amazed what happens in your life that year. But if we don't target, then 12 months are going to go by. They'll go by and you'll be the same as you are now, in the same bondage, under the same attacks you are now, because you did not identify and target your faith for the promises of God. The point we're making right now is faith is not accidental. It requires effort. And we want to be just those that go to church and float and, you know, whatever I feel like doing, you know. And God says, no, become a student. You know, when I was in school, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from school. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for getting my kids out of school. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. When I was in school, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. They told me the homework I needed to do. They told me the projects I needed to work on. Oh, I hated lab assignments. Labs are from hell. Can I just say labs are from hell? Isn't that right, Lord? Now, if they'd just, and I do this, you know, when I was taking chemistry, I hated chem lab. Step A, step B, step C, get this result. And it was just, oh, it was like tedious. But I go in lab all the time and just see what I can mix together. We had open lab, you know, we go and do what we want to do. I blew up stuff all the time. I still got some chemicals from 40 years ago I kept to make contact explosives with. Still make them now and then just for fun. We'd throw stuff in acid, see how quick it boiled down, what it produced, everything else, you know. That was fun, but the orderly, structured learning of chemistry, I didn't like. In the same way, we as Christians don't like being called to do projects or being, you know, doing church lab where there's an assignment and we have to be specific and target certain things because that's not as exciting and fun. We just want to float and do whatever seems like comes to us. Yet God says you need to claim all the promises. It's an assignment that doesn't come automatically. Choose to identify needs in your life and target your faith. And then work it. Write them down. Work it for a month. Work each promise for a month or however long. And watch your life shift. Again, insanity is defined as believing you can do the same thing over and over and get different results. You want God results? Change what you're doing. Homework time. Amen. That may be why there's not thousands in here right now, because there's homework. I didn't come here to go to school. Come here to be preached at. Why'd you come? You came to be changed. That's what we're talking about. Father, we thank you for your word and all you're doing in our life and our midst. We ask you, Lord God, to complete in us the work you started when we were born again through the blood of Jesus. Spirit of God, I ask you to speak into each one here and target. Show them where there's needs that your word has given them promise and cause them to target their faith towards those needs being supernaturally satisfied. I thank you. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Again, if you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some neck, show the love of God.